Welcome to the Divorce Comeback Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Heidi B., certified and trauma-informed divorce coach, professional planner, and go-to gal for navigating the next steps of your divorce journey. I'm so happy you've tuned in for the tools, topics, and truth talk to start transforming your life today. I truly believe that there are no setbacks in life, only set-ups for epic comebacks. So without further delay, let's continue creating your comeback today. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. My guest today is the incredible Eileen Joy. Eileen is the money coach for moms, the host of the Moms Who Money podcast, and founder of Money School for Moms. She makes money easy for moms in order to create wealth, fill their bank accounts, be debt-free while still having fun, stop living paycheck to paycheck, and teach their kids how to have a healthy money mindset and then set them up for life. Her 11-year-old son knows more about money than most adult. Eileen created an easy system that any busy mom can follow and specializes in working with high-achieving professional moms who are committed to investing in themselves and their children and know that money is their next best step. She's created a safe and comfortable environment to learn about one of the most avoided taboo topic subjects, money. But there is no more shame, guilt, or embarrassment when you step into Eileen's world. Welcome to the show, Eileen.
Thank you so much for having me today, Heidi. This is going to be so much fun.
Yes, we have an incredible topic today. So today's topic is overall unlocking wealth for you and your kids after divorce. And this topic is so important because you've mentioned to me that so many women who are contemplating divorce kind of postpone or delay that part of the process because of money. So we're going to get into so many important pieces of this topic today. We're going to hopefully help a lot of people out. But first, I'd love for you to maybe share a bit of your own personal story and why this topic is so important to you.
Well, it was quite a journey how I got here. All of this went down during my divorce. And what happened was when it came time for me to interview divorce attorneys, one of the things that I was really nervous about was having enough money to pay for my divorce because divorce can be so extremely expensive. And I've heard horror stories of friends of mine that had to take out loans and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on their divorce, on court costs and custody battles and all of these things. And I was terrified at the time. And I really didn't have a lot of money saved. So when I was interviewing these attorneys, I was saying, look, this is how much money I have. Is this going to be enough? And basically, they all just danced around the answer and never really said, that's going to be fine. But at the end of the day, it wasn't fine. And I ran out of money so fast. Then I was being harassed by the attorney's office and their accounting department. They were harassing me for money, saying, if you don't pay us, we're going to stop services and we're going to seize assets and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I had to sell my house to pay for my divorce. I had to get a new job. I had a great job. And at that time, I was working with my sister-in-law, my now ex-sister-in-law, and just the office became quite a toxic work environment. And I just said, you know what? Peace out. And I left. I said, I can't be here anymore. And then my son and I got into a really bad car accident where my car was totaled. We both ended up in the hospital. I'm still dealing with a neck injury today from it. And all of this was going on during my divorce and at the tail end of a bankruptcy. And so at the end of the day, when my divorce was final, I received a check in the mail from my attorney's office for all the money that I had left in the world because they seized everything. When my house sold, they took it all and they held on to it to make sure they got paid first.
Wow.
And yes. And so I opened the envelope. I took the check out. It said $347.
Wow.
And that was all the money that I had left in the world. I would have gotten tens of thousands of dollars from the sale of my home. But instead, I'm now a single mom with a five-year-old with $347 left to my name. Starting all over, need a new house, new job, new car, the whole thing. It sounds like a really bad country song, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So after I picked myself up off the floor from crying in the fetal position, I said, okay, I got to do something, right? I got to put one foot in front of the other and figure this out.
I'm just impressed that you got yourself up off the bathroom floor. That's something that I tell our listeners all the time is literally, I found myself day after day. And I don't know why the bathroom floor, right? But like the bathroom floor.
Oh, it feels good.
Yes. Hyperventilating, crying in the fetal position. Just like, am I going to make it? And yeah. To the moment at which you do get up, I think is really important, because I remember that day when I kind of had a divine intervention and I heard a voice within me and around me say, get up and go find your joy. And I did. And so I just want to just point out that pivotal point where you decided it was a choice, people. Like, to all of our listeners, it is a choice. Even when you have $347 in your bank account and you feel like your world is falling apart, it was a choice at that moment where you got yourself up. No one else did.
Exactly. And it was that decision that I made. And I did hear a voice in my head, and the voice said, keep moving forward.
Yes.
And that's all I kept hearing. Keep moving forward. And I have a chalkboard in my family room that we write quotes on all the time. We'll erase it. But it still says it on there. I never erased it. It is still there in that corner. It says, keep moving forward. And I look at it every single day.
That gives me chills. That
right?
just gave me full body chills.
Because that's really, at the end of the day, if we just get up and put one foot in front of the other and do one little thing to make our life better, right? Make our lives better by 1% every single day, by the end of the year, wow, you know?
Yes.
And so that's what happened. You know, I picked myself up and I said, okay, I need to figure this out. I gotta find a house, find somewhere to live and get a car and find a job, you know? And I just started making phone calls. You know, and I picked myself up, I asked for help, and here I am now, money coach for moms. Like, who would have thought? It's amazing.
It's amazing when I heard, it was kind of like an Oprah type of a show, something out there, Mel Robbins, where they said, how do you find your passion? And they say, when your pain and your love for something gets intertwined, that is oftentimes where our passions just evolve, they're birthed and then they evolve. And I know that that's true for me. And it sounds like that's very true for you.
Yeah. I always say they collided like a supernova in the sky. It exploded.
Yeah.
But it was simply that. It was me having my comeback, right? And I came back from my divorce in such a fierce way. Like, you know, Sasha Fierce and Beyonce, right? Like, I just said, that's it. I'm doing this. I wanted to get divorced. It was all me. So let's do this, right?
Yes.
Like, now it's my time. It's my time to find my joy. It's my time to have fun. It's my time now, right? And I got to teach my son that too, because he can't see his mom sobbing 100% of the time, 24/7. Like, he would write me little cards, mommy, I love you. And like all these, and like, please stop crying, you know, and it was heartbreaking, right? And so that was a big pivotal point for me too. Of like, I can't provide this environment for my son. I need to be the one that shows him that we can choose to empower ourselves and move forward every single day and decide what we want for our own life, because that's the journey in life, right? And so that's where we are, right? So I came back. I had got, like, in a very short amount of time, I bounced back with a fully funded emergency fund. I paid off that new car. I had to get that new car because my other one was totaled. I got a 6-year car loan. I paid it off in 3 years, completely debt-free. My credit score, completely repaired my credit score, now in the 800s. And I'm on track to retire early. And I was able to fire my financial advisor.
Wow.
And it was amazing, right? And so then all of my friends were like, Eileen, what's your secret? You need to show me what you did. I want to know right now. And so I started helping my friends, and then they started getting the same results. And they're like, I can't even believe this is so easy. And it really is easy when you stop being terrified of it and you embrace it and you really realize that money can be easy. And all you need to do is learn a few simple things, change a few habits, and boom, all of a sudden you have a fully funded emergency fund. You can be debt free. You can create wealth. You can stop living paycheck to paycheck. You can have fun. and that you can teach your kids how to have a healthy money mindset and then set them up for life now when they're little so that they'll be set for life, right? And then we also change the narrative at home so that money stops being so taboo and we need to start normalizing the talk of money at home. Whether or not you're divorced or not, or if you have a partner, or if maybe you are divorced and now you're in a new relationship, right? And you're still afraid to talk about money with your partner, right? These are the things that are super important. Because I know that one of the statistics is that money is like, they say that money is 50% of one of the reasons why people get divorced. But it's not really money's fault. It's because we're afraid to talk about it.
Yes.
Right? So instead, we fight about it or we ignore it or it just becomes this problem, right? And then they say money's why we got divorced. But it wasn't. It was because you were afraid to talk about it with your partner.
Ooh. I love that so much. And I was gonna ask you a question about the money story that you were taught growing up. Like,
yes.
Were you taught a certain kind, or even maybe if you weren't taught it, you were observing how it was. What was that like for you growing up? What did you kind of inherit and take on? Because I know I've got one too.
Yeah. Well, if you give me a moment, I would actually love to explain what a money story is.
Yes, please.
For those that might not understand or have never heard of it before. What your money story is essentially, you never learned about money in school, right? And neither are your kids. So where did you learn about money, right? When you were a kid, at home, right? And in your environment, right? So from the time that we're age 0 to 7, that's when we're being shaped and conditioned and formed. And this is how we learn how to be a human, right? Mm-hmm. How to walk, how to talk, how to live within our social environment, right? And everyone's social environment is different around the world, even in certain towns, right? Everyone acts a certain way to feel like they need to fit in. And this is what we're learning when we're little, of how to be. And we're told no so many times. Don't do that. No, no, you have to be this way and you have to think this way, right? And part of that is money. So when you think back to your own childhood, what was money like in your house, right? So did your parents fight about it? Did they ignore it? Was it acknowledged? Did you feel like you were really poor? Did you feel like you were comfortable? Did you not even ever think about it?
Right.
Right. Think about that, right? What was money like when you were little, right? And that's how your money story starts. That's where it all begins. That's the root of it, right? And that's what forms our feelings about money. And that's why so many of us today are terrified to even just look at our bank account.
Yes.
Because of these feelings that we have about money and these messages that we've received from our parents and our environment. And I'll give you an example about environment because this was mind-blowing for me. Years ago, my son and I were talking about money. We talk about money all the time. Like, we've normalized it so much. It's like talking about the weather. It's like just another conversation. So we were talking about money and he said to me, he was little at the time, and he says, "Mommy, people who are rich are mean and greedy. So I don't want to be rich because I'm a really kind and generous person." And I looked at him and I said, "Where did you hear that?" I said, "Those words had never crossed these lips, you know?" And he said, "Mommy, I saw it on a cartoon, right?"
No.
Yes. So then I started paying attention and I said, "What cartoon?" And he couldn't remember which one, but I was really now paying attention to, well, which cartoons is he watching and what's the content? And I realized that now I pay attention. Like, now my reticular activating system is like on a high alert all the time of like money stories and like the messages we're receiving and all this. So I see it everywhere now. And it's funny because the people that create these shows, whether it's a cartoon or not, it's just everywhere. Like, if you really start paying attention, it's everywhere. People's money stories come out in all of these characters, in cartoons and TV shows and movies and, you know, social media and marketing. It's just everywhere, right? And so they use these messages to trick you with marketing, first of all, to make you want things. Like, you know, they make us feel like our wants are our needs.
Yes.
You know? And so this is where your money story comes from. So where it started for me was my mom was a spender, still is today. And my dad was also a spender, and he also had a gambling addiction. Money in my house was very interesting because my parents both had great jobs. And so they had all this money coming in. And my sister and I would always ask, you know, "Oh, can I have this? Can I have that? Can we do this?" No, 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 no. Because there never was any money because they were always spending it or it was gone. Oh. And my parents fought about it all the time, especially because of the gambling. And my dad, he would just take every dollar. If there was money, he would just take it and go gamble it. And he almost became like a professional poker player. And he would go to so many casinos. And he actually had casinos sending helicopters for him and comping him rooms and meals, asking him to come to their casino to play.
Wow.
So he could come lose his money there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And he ended up actually almost cleaning out their retirement accounts and just taking all the money. And that's why they were just constantly fighting. And the fighting was so bad. They were just rip roaring, drag out fight where furniture was thrown, holes punched in walls. My sister and I would hide in our rooms. Like we would just go in our rooms and close the door because we didn't want to be around the fighting. So those messages that we learned was money is bad. Money causes fights. As soon as you get money, you need to get rid of it.
Mm.
You know, we don't even want it, you know?
Yeah.
And so we both became spenders, you know?
Yeah.
And so like that's how it started for me. And then I had to dig deep too and work through my money story too when yes. I was working with my money, right? I'm not immune.
Yeah.
You know, none of us are immune to the money story. So if you really think back to how it started, what's your money story now? Like, do you fight about it with your partner or do you not want to talk about it at all? Are you talking about it with your kids? You know, are there money conversations at all? And what are they like?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Like when you make a purchase, do you feel guilty?
Mm.
Are you afraid to spend money? All of these things, right? All of these things all come from your money story. So when I work with my clients, what we do is we start with money story before we even look at the number.
Yes.
Right? We dig deep into your money story and then we start to rewrite your money story.
Yes.
How do you want to feel about money?
Mm.
Right? What do you want with your life? And the most important question that anyone can ask themselves at that point is, what do you want?
Mm.
It's also the hardest question to ask yourself.
It is.
Right?
It is.
What do you want? What brings you joy?
Yes. I work with my clients on that as well. We talk about the future self and how she behaves, what she does, what kind of attitudes and beliefs and values and all sorts of things that she holds for herself, how she carries herself, what kind of life she walks. And it does feel like the hardest question to answer, but it's because of so many stories. It's a story storm. It's just a big thunderstorm of lightning bolts of stories. And you're just kind of like, okay, I just need the storm to calm a little bit and to be able to sit with myself long enough in a quiet space to answer what it is that I do want and give myself serious permission to allow myself to have what I want. Because I think a lot of times we just hold ourselves back because we're like, well, I can't. I've seen my mom and my dad and this and that and people at my job and this and I'm supposed to be doing this and I'm supposed to be doing that. And it's just this whole storm of stories that just causes so much cloudiness in our being.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
What are a few, do you have any examples in your home or in maybe your normalizing of money? Does it span beyond your kids, beyond your household? Does it go into, is it taboo to talk about with your friends or your family members or things like that? Like, how do we start to introduce normalizing money conversations into our lives?
Well, it all starts at home. It has to start at home. And it really also depends how old your kids are and what their level of understanding is too. Because if they're really little, like toddlers, then it's just mostly play with money, right? And then as they get older, they learn more and more and more money lessons as time goes on. But with the first step of just normalizing money in the house is just, you have to start somewhere.
Yes.
Right? So the easiest place is maybe books, board games, things like that, right? And then also with kids, the supermarket.
Ooh.
The supermarket is the easiest place to start talking about money. And also really great for money lessons. And these are life lessons too. Like money lessons are also life lessons because our life and our money are always bleeding into each other. Money is a tool. That's all money is. Mm-hmm. And we put so much power on that word money that it can be so paralyzing. We can get analysis paralysis and then just like be like a deer in headlights and just not even want to move forward because we're just so afraid because we've put so much power on this word money.
Yeah.
But when you think about it backwards is let's take our money. Let's take our strike that. Let's take our power back over money.
Yes.
Right. And we can empower ourselves and then we can empower ourselves first. Right. And then we empower our kids.
Mm.
And so the supermarket, easiest thing to do. Because what I see most, and you'll start to notice this now, because now you can't unhear this. But when you go to the supermarket and you see a mom with her kid and all you see is stop touching that. Stop hitting your brother. Put your hands back, you know, stop, don't touch that, you know, all the different things.
Yes.
Stop fighting. You know, you just see this all the time. So a great way to curb that is to give your kids jobs.
Ooh.
Okay, it's time for a 10-second break to tell you about something great. Did you know that there's a community of divorced women who meet up virtually on a weekly basis and heal through divorce together? That's right. Our 12-week comeback community and group coaching experience provides the roadmap, the resources, and the relationships needed to navigate your new normal, create your comeback, and thrive after divorce. Take it from me. When you've got a plan and a partner in place, you'll be moving forward faster in no time. Visit divorcecomebackcoach.com and book your free clarity call with me, Heidi B., today and see if it's a fit. All right, let's get back to the show.
So first, easiest thing to do is teach them about what a budget might be, a food budget, right? And just say, hey, we're not going to spend more than this amount today, whatever the amount is for you for that week. And so you give one of your kids the calculator from your phone. We open up the calculator app, right? And what they can do is, and then I also have an app on my phone where I have my shopping list and we never stray from the list,
yes.
Right? So my son and I, we do this together. We've been doing this for years and we look at the list. He goes to the shelf, sees how much it is on the shelf and puts it in the calculator and we add it up. And so sometimes what we'll do is we'll say, well, what's most important on the list? Let's get those things first, see how much it is. Cause you know, with the increase of inflation and groceries and all the things, and thank God for Costco, you know, we, right. you know, so we try to do what we can to stay within our budget for our money. And so he helps me, right. And also a really great thing to do with your kids is go to self-checkout. And so knowing now how much the prices were on the shelf and you put them in, what we've noticed too is a lot of stores have the incorrect price in the register. It does not match what's on the shelf. It's usually more.
What?
Yeah. So you have to pay attention. Like next time you go shopping, pay attention. Like there's this one little store, it's like a mom and pop store, like right down the road from my house where sometimes I'll run and grab yogurt or something, like little things. And they always have it a dollar more in the register. And I'm always telling them to change it. And I'm like, I know it's only a dollar, but that's my dollar.
Yes.
Like, how dare you? You know?
Yes.
All stores do it.
Mm.
Even if it's like a mistake or whatever, you know, all stores do it. So start paying attention, right? And this is the thing, just really start paying attention to your money in general. Pay attention. Let your kids be involved in the process. Like, let them know what your bills are. This is the electric bill. I have to pay this so that we can have internet so you can watch TV and play, you know, video games or whatever, you know?
Yes.
This is so that this is the water bill. This is that. Like this is, you know, if you have a mortgage, if you own a house or if you pay rent, if you're renting, this is how much it costs to live in our home.
Mm.
Right. And this starts the life lesson.
Yes.
Right. And then they learn, okay, well, these are really important things. And that's why mommy always tells me to turn the light off when I leave the room, you know?
Yes.
Right. And it's just even for your own self, even if you don't have kids, just really start paying attention. So all of these things, like what are you spending your money on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a four-step process that I work on with my clients. It's like pillars of my program. It's the MAVY. So M is mindset, right? So we mm-hmm. work on your money mindset, your money story. And then the second step is awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So awareness piece is like the most important after your money mindset. Once we start healing all of the money trauma and the wounds and the stories and all of these things that are holding you back from even wanting to look at your money, now we're looking at it.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So we need to now pay attention to what's coming in, what's going out, where's it going? Do you go to Target for deodorant, go in, spend $300 and then forget the deodorant, right?
Yeah.
What is happening with your money?
Yes.
Right? And then one of the most important things after the awareness piece and the paying attention and really understanding where your money's going is starting to reframe the thinking about how you're spending your money, right? Mm-hmm. And what's important to you? And that's where this question of what do you want? What brings you joy? What makes you happy? What are the things that you really want out of life? This is one of the most important questions to begin to reshape everything, your comeback, everything, right? Your comeback includes your money, especially now if you're a single parent and you're now living on one income.
Yes.
And you're freaking out because the whole time before divorce, you're like, how am I going to make it on my own? Mm. Right. Well, this is how, right?
Yes.
This is how. Think about what is it that you is really important to you? What are your values? What are your goals? What do you want now? What do you want for your kids? What do you want for your life? Do you want to be single forever? Do you want to get remarried? Do you want to travel? Like, what are the things that you really want out of life? And then let money be the tool to help you create that extraordinary life.
Mm, I love that. Let it be the tool. Let it be the tool to create what you want rather than the thing that hinders you from what you want. That's such a beautiful reframing. Let it be the tool for what you want. Oh, it's just mic drop moments.
Yes. And it's so interesting because I have a friend who, when he cooks in the kitchen, he's a mechanic, right? So we talk about tools or using the right tool. And when he cooks in the kitchen, it drives me nuts because he uses the wrong tools. Like in my mind, I'm like, why are you using a fork when you should be using a rubber scraper? Like, what are you doing? You know? And it's the same thing like with your money, right? Money is a tool. And there's lots of ways to use that tool. And we need to know and understand what these tools are. Mm. But if you don't know how to use the tool, you're doing it wrong, right?
or you avoid it.
Or you avoid it
altogether. You know, you're just like, I don't really know how that's going to work for me. I don't know how to operate that tool or that thing. So I'm just going to avoid it. I'll just leave it behind. And we'll hope for the best, you know?
Yes. And this is where you tell yourself you can't. And then you avoid it and you move on. And then you forget about it. And then it's still a problem.
Yes.
Right? So the next step is the why, M-A-V-Y, right? Mindset, awareness, values. And the why is you get to take your power back. Mm. You're in control. You get to tell your money what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So instead of the money coming in and then all of a sudden it's gone and there's more months left at the end of the money, you take your power back. And when the money comes in, you tell it what to do. Your money needs to have a purpose, right? And you hear this all the time. This stuff drives me crazy because I hear all the time, all the noise on the internet of like, you need to have an emergency fund and you need to do this and you need to do that. But they never tell you why.
Yes.
You just need to have it, right? So say you do have an emergency fund. Now it's just this pile of money, but it has no purpose. It's just a pile of money. So you spend it, right? It starts to slowly dwindle away because you have it, right?
Yeah.
And what a lot of people do is like, you go to the store and you just look at your app. You're like, oh, I have money. Okay, I'll just spend it. Because it doesn't have a purpose. Right? But when you give money a purpose, just like you're giving yourself and your life a purpose, right? Yes. It's all combined. It's all together. It's all important things, right? So it's just really, if you think about how you grew up, right? We're going back to the money story and you're thinking about how money is just something to manage, right? And spending is something to curb.
Mm.
But that isn't the whole picture, right? We spend our money, the way we spend our money is so deeply important and personal, right? Mm. And I always say personal finance is personal.
Yes.
Right. So you could go on Google University and look up like, how do I manage money? And it's just a very generalized, you know, response.
Yep.
But because personal finance is personal, no one makes the same amount of money as you. No one has the same lifestyle as you. No one has the same family dynamic as you. No one lives in the same part of the country or world where you live, right? Everyone's expenses and lifestyle are different.
Mm-hmm.
So there's generalized things. Yes, you do need to have an emergency fund. Yes, you really should be investing your money in the stock market and in other vehicles, right? And you need to also share your money and give money and donate to charities and help people that are in need, right? And the more money we have, the more generous we can be with it.
Yes.
Right? And then we also need to know how to spend it. And these are the four buckets that I teach: how to save, how to invest, how to give, and how to spend, and how to use all of these four buckets at the same time.
Ooh.
right? And whereas most people are just using the spending bucket and then there's no money left for those other buckets.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Hey, can you share a few of your top money saving tips? Do you have any top money saving tips for us? I know it's a whole process and you've got the buckets and you break it down. So I don't want to dial this back to us to make it, to simplify this so much that, you know, it doesn't speak to all of the amazing work that you're doing. But do you have any just simple money saving tips?
Yeah, totally. The easiest thing to do is to automate your savings.
Ooh, say more.
Plain and simple. Okay. So if you haven't ever looked at your money, you really don't know how much you want to save, right? So
yes.
It's really just getting in the habit to start of like, just getting in that habit of saving, right? So you can set up an automation where every time you get paid, a certain dollar amount goes into your savings account.
Yes.
Right? And it's kind of the same thing if you have a corporate job and you have a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
Same, right? Set up a certain percentage to go into your 401k. And then when you get paid, you don't miss it, right? It's automatically being saved for you. So it's the same concept with saving cash. Same concept. Maybe put $10, $20, $100, whatever it is that you can spare right now, just to get the habit started.
Yes.
It
doesn't have to be a lot, because I started this, I can't even remember how many years ago, probably when I started getting divorced. And for the first time, I looked at my finances because I didn't look at them at all. Because that's not what my, I'm putting things in air quotes here. That wasn't my role. I didn't pay the bills. I didn't do the things. I didn't touch money. I didn't look at it. I didn't care about it. My husband just said, don't worry about it. We're good. Even though I was making six figures, I should have cared a heck of a lot more. But when I got divorced and I started looking at everything, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to do what you just said. And I'm just going to take $25 a week from my existing paycheck. And I don't have to do anything. It just goes. And it's been fun to see how periodically I'll look at that savings account that is nothing more than $25. It used to be $25, you know, and you adjust it. And even if I had kept on, it still would be this beautiful bank of just like, it's there. But what I heard you say earlier really like struck a nerve, which was give it a purpose.
Yes. Yes. And that's exactly what I was going to say next.
It doesn't have a purpose. It just is like, that's my savings. It just goes there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I loved that. I loved that golden nugget.
Yeah. So when you're automating your savings, you also want to give that a purpose.
Hmm.
Right? It's not just to save.
Yes.
Because you're just going to spend it. It's just human nature. You see the money and you spend it. And that's what you've been doing all along. That's the habit that you have, right?
Yeah.
So it's just changing the way that you think about it. And you change your perspective of, well, yes, I have this money, but it has a purpose now.
Yes.
So what do you want to save it for? Do you have pets? Do your pets have vet emergencies? I know at one point I had 4 cats and 2 dogs all at the same time. And there was always something going on. And oh boy, you know, we're always at the vet, all kinds of things, right? Like what kinds of emergencies? I call these unexpected expenses.
Yes, I love that.
Right?
Unexpected expenses. Yes.
And this is one of the things that we do when we set up your buckets and when you take control of your money and you take your power back, you get to decide where your money goes, right? So when you think about all of those unexpected expenses that randomly come up in your life, like your car insurance bill that comes up every 6 months that you're like, oh man, I don't have the cash for that. Oh, and by the way, you know, all insurance rates just went up and my bill's even higher than I thought it was going to be. And you don't have the money and you're freaking out. And then you put it on your credit card to pay that bill, right? So these are things that you can think about, all of these unexpected expenses that randomly, air quotes, come up all the time, plus the emergency things like the vet bill and maybe something happened in your house or random things that come up, you can have money for that. And that could be a purpose for part of it. And then you can create sub buckets. So you have your bucket and then little mini buckets within your bucket. So like, I want to go away on a girl's trip.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put money aside for that. Or I need to buy band uniforms for my kids or something. You know, I need to put, but, and I know that it needs to be paid in like 3 or 4 months, you know, whatever. Start putting money aside for these things instead of just throwing it on your credit card and then hoping that you'll have it when the bill comes. And these are real, it's just so simple to do.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the easiest way to get started with saving.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Yeah. That's a really, really, really good tip. I always ask my guests, what's one thing our listeners can start doing today to help create their comeback? Is that one, or do you have another one?
I would definitely say that's a big one. But I always go back to, if you want to be very specific and say what's going to create my comeback, it always comes back to what do you want?
Yeah.
Because that was one of the first questions my therapist asked me when I went through my divorce and I was getting myself off the bathroom floor. And she kept saying, well, what do you want? And I just kept saying, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I was so stuck. I don't know. And I wouldn't even let myself at the time even think about, because before, no one ever cared what I wanted. Nothing what I wanted was important. I was never really, it didn't matter, you know? And so that was a thing for me that I had to heal.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm sure so many women, I mean, a lot of my clients come to me with the same thing, that they, no one ever cared what they wanted.
Yeah.
They're always told what to do, you know? And one of the things too, is what you were saying earlier about not knowing where the money is. This is huge because women in general, when we grow up, depending upon what generation you are, we're told to play small, stay small, look pretty, let the man handle it.
That's what I did.
Right.
That's what I did.
Right.
Played by the rule book, the societal rule book of this is my role. This is what's been carved in for me, even though I make more money than him. He's in charge of that. And all I need to know is, can I have that? It was like that ask. And it was always yes, but because I made all the money, you know?
Yeah. And how icky does that feel to ask for your own money?
Yeah.
Right?
Even when you get a yes every time, what I realized is he never said no because he knew that. But then there were secret credit cards because he had to keep up. Right?
Exactly.
So exactly. Things happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is all part of the awareness, like all of the different pieces of just starting, right? Think about how do you feel about your money, right? Where is it?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it going, right? Really paying attention. And if you are in a relationship right now, whether you're married or not, start talking about money.
Yeah.
Find out where the money is. If you're not handling it, I had a client come to me whose husband refused to tell her where anything was.
Wow. Yeah, that happens.
And she
does happen.
Yeah. And she was also the breadwinner. And so once we started working together and we figured it all out and we got to the root of everything and we got him to stop taking her money, we were able to save her over $60,000 in 6 months.
Wow.
And she had nothing. She didn't even have a savings account when she came to me.
Wow.
Right? And it was just asking a few questions, taking control back and not saying, okay, honey, I trust you, you know? And I've also had women come to me where her husband or partner was handling it and then their spouse passed away.
Yes, that is that. I've heard that story many times. I've had friends who have been in that situation. And honestly, that's a scary place to be because then they're not withholding it from you. They just can't give it to you. They can't give you the information.
Yeah. So, and then trying to find it is tough. Yeah.
That's so huge.
Yeah.
Asking, how do I feel about money? Where is it? Start to just get curious. Like you don't have to get yourself overwhelmed. I love leaning into curiosity when I'm exploring new parts of myself. Just start to get curious about where it's at. And then what do you want with it? When you said, you know, I don't know, I'm just so stuck. Well, one thing that I do know is I want to get unstuck. I know that, right? So that's a want. And then one question I always say to my clients is, if you did know, what would it be? If you did know, what would it be? And I had a coach ask me that a long time ago, and it kind of just made me take a pause and go, okay, well, it doesn't just stop there in my busy brain, not knowing. My soul actually does know, and it does have an opinion, and it does have a gut feeling. There are true visceral feelings in there. They've just been covered up by layers and layers and layers of me telling myself I don't know the answers. And so if I just give myself permission to take a beat, and I dream about, well, if I did know, what would it be? It makes it a little bit lighter. And then we start to scratch the surface on things. So you have provided not only some incredible places to start for the comeback, but so, so much more. I love that you have a system and a proven process to really help people in this place, in this space. So we don't have to be scared of our money. We can use money as a tool and allow it to work for us. So I know that so many people are going to want to get a hold of you Where are you at? How can people get more Eileen joy in their life?
Well, I just want to say, the number one thing that you can do right now is to just draw a line in the sand and just make a decision, right? Decide today that you're going to take the reins, take control of your money, because so many of us give our power away. Yes. And make the decision and give yourself the permission, right? I'm giving you the permission slip right now that you're going to make your decision. Today is the day. And I do have a free gift to help you with that.
Yes. Tell us about it.
Okay. So what you were asking me before is money saving tips. So I actually have a free guide that's called 5 Steps to Save $1,000 this month.
Ooh. And
the feedback that I've gotten on this guide is that people have told me they've saved way more than $1,000 only using 2 of the steps. So you're going to love it. And so the easiest place to find it is momswhomoney.com/save.
Love that. That is huge. That is huge. Okay. So they're going to go to momswhomoney.com/save. They're going to get that. They're going to be on their way. Is there anywhere else that they should look for you, or is that the best place to be?
The easiest place to find me is at my website, momswhomoney.com. You can find my podcast there. You can get to all my socials through there. It's the easiest way to find me. You can look at all my information. All the information that I have for you is there. Listen to my podcast, Moms Who Money. And I am happy, happy to help anyone out there that is in need of becoming aware of what they need to do with their money for their comeback.
Yes. Thank you so much. I have two closing questions that I ask all my guests. So the first one is, Eileen, what is one thing that you love about you?
My energy. Everyone always tells me that when I walk in a room, I light it up.
You do.
Yeah.
I just met you today and I was like, I love you. I want to be best friends with you. How do I get more time with you?
Same.
That's such a great thing to love about yourself. I don't know about you, but it took me a while to realize that my energy is my superpower. And people do love that about me, because I always felt like maybe it was a little too much for people, but it actually is the thing that the people who are meant for me are so attracted to. And then there's just magic. So I love that about you. I love that about you too. And then the last question is, what does joy feel like in your body?
Oh, it feels warm and gooey.
Yes.
Like a good chocolate molten lava cake.
Oh, I love a good chocolate molten lava cake. Yes. That's pure joy right there. The ooey gooeyness. Yes.
Ooey gooey and just free and happy and flowy. And just like, you know that the dopamine hit that you get when you have that first bite of chocolate.
Yes.
Bam. Yes. Joy. Happy. Feels so good. Light up that room, you know?
Yes. That is beautiful. And now I want to go eat some chocolate molten cake for sure.
Sorry.
Well, Eileen, I just want to thank you so much for your time and your energy today. It means so much that you took all that precious time for us. And I love what you're doing in the world. And I can't wait for you to continue to shine your light on all of our listeners in this way.
Thank you so much for having me today. I had so much fun and I can't wait to be in your energy again. This is cool. We're BFFs now.
Likewise. And for all of our listeners, remember, you are safe. You are loved. You are enough. Go out into the world, shine your light bright, and live a limitless life. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for tuning in. If you loved our chat or know someone who would, take a quick screenshot and share it now, or leave a 5-star review so this message can reach the masses. Let's continue connecting over on Instagram at Divorce Comeback Coach, or go to divorcecomebackcoach.com to start coordinating your comeback today. You can even schedule a free connection call to see if our comeback community and group coaching experience is for you. Tune in next week for another transformational topic. And remember, you are safe, you are loved, you are worthy, you are enough. Take care.